Lately, we've been on a study here at the mission called Building Your House. Building Your House. And friends, I'm not talking about a physical house, a physical structure that somebody lives in, a place with ceilings and walls and gardens on the outside. I'm not talking about building a physical house, but we're talking about building our spiritual house, building our spiritual lives. And Paul the Apostle writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, that Jesus Christ is the foundation. When you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and said, Jesus be my Lord, the one in full charge of every part of my life, Jesus Christ became the spiritual foundation for your life. And he writes in Ephesians 2, verse 20, that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. Say it with me today. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. Okay, let's go to this illustration of a home builder. Say a home builder out there buys a piece of property, right? And he buys this piece of property and he lays a concrete foundation. It's going to profit that home builder nothing if he just lays a foundation but doesn't build a structure on top of it, right? You know, he'd be out of his mind to think he could sell that piece of real estate with just a piece of land and a concrete foundation. It would profit him nothing if he does not build a structure on top of it. If he wants to make a profit, what does he need to do? He needs to build a house on top of the foundation. Is that making sense today? Likewise, friend, God is wanting us to profit spiritually, if you would. He's wanting us to go forward spiritually. He's wanting us to abound in our spiritual lives. In other words, he's wanting us to pray to him, communicate with him like you would communicate with your best friend in flesh and bone. He's wanting you to grow in your faith in him, that if you ask anything according to his will, according to his word, by faith, that you will receive it. He's wanting you to grow spiritually in the sense that you can hear the voice of God and respond to it. So God is wanting us to go forward and abound in our spiritual lives. But friends, in order to go forward spiritually, we have got to build our spiritual homes, our lives, on the foundation, Jesus Christ. Let me say it again. In order to abound and go forward in your life spiritually, you have got to build your spiritual life upon Jesus Christ. And last week we talked about our serve. You know, a lot of people may have accepted Jesus as Savior years ago, and maybe you did. Maybe you accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord a year, 5 years, 10, 15 years ago. But a lot of people who accepted Jesus Christ in the past remain toddlers spiritually. How many here have had interactions with a toddler, a two-year-old? A toddler is the center of its own world, right? It's about me, myself, and I. You know, sad spiritually, a lot of people remain toddlers in their Christian life. And their life's motto is, my name is Jimmy, so just gimme, gimme, gimme. They're always on the receiving end, on the taking end. But friends, if we're going to mature into spiritual adulthood, we have got to be on the giving end. We have got to be on the serving end. If you start serving others, if you start stepping out beyond yourself to reach out to those who are less fortunate than you, guess what? You will mature spiritually by leaps and bounds. You will build your spiritual home, your spiritual life, if you would. Amen? All right. We talked about last week that touching the less fortunate, those who are in greater need than you, is touching Jesus himself. Jesus said, for as much as you've done it to the least of these brothers of mine, you have done it for me. It's in Matthew chapter 25. Amen? And as you touch those less fortunate than yourself, somebody sleeping on a street corner, somebody sleeping under a bridge, buying groceries for somebody who hasn't eaten for days, when you touch that person with the love of God, guess what? You are touching the heart of Jesus himself. Amen? Amen. All right. Today I want to talk about serving God through giving, or worshiping God through giving. You know, the word worship from the original Hebrew can mean to prostrate oneself in homage to royalty or to God, to bow oneself down, to fall down flat, or to humbly beseech. Here's another definition for worship. To worship means to ascribe worth to. When you worship God, you're ascribing worth to God. You're telling God, God, you are above anything or anyone in my life. God, you take second place to none in my life. God, I will have no other God before you, since you are a jealous God according to your word in Exodus 20, verses 3 through 4. See, when you worship God, you're telling God, God, you are above anyone or anything in my entire existence. God, you take second place to none in my life. Now think about this. Whatever you invest your efforts, your time, and your resources into, you are worshiping. Let me say it again. Whatever you invest your efforts, your time, and your financial resources into, you are worshiping. And it's sad that in America, people are worshiping other things besides Yahweh, besides God, besides Jesus. They're worshiping their jobs. They're worshiping their careers. All their time is focused on their career. They're worshiping their spouse. They make an idol out of their spouse. They worship their money, their boat, their cars. But you know what? These things ought not to be worshipped. The only one that deserves the worship of any human being is Yahweh, God, and God alone. Amen? He's the only one we're to ascribe any worth to. Now we're going to talk about investing our resources into God, into God's work. Worshipping God by investing our resources into His kingdom. And why do we love God? Why do we worship God? Why do we worship God? What does the Word of God say in 1 John 4:19? That's it. Who said that? He loved us first. We love because He first loved us. We love Him because He first loved us. Friends, we were once hellbound. We were once destined for a lost eternity, for an eternity separated from God. But God, in His love, in His grace, sent Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, 2,000 years ago, the only one who could pay the penalty for humanity's sin. God sent Jesus into this world to die upon a cross so that you and I would not have to die in hell. Amen? Friends, while we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ died for us, according to Romans 5:8. We were once hell-bound, but now we are heaven-bound by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? God demonstrated His love for us by sending Jesus to die upon a cross, and by our faith in Him to receive eternal life. That's awesome, isn't it? Imagine this scenario. Imagine one day you want to take a trip with a friend, and you hop into your car. Your friend's sitting there next to you in the passenger seat. You're driving along, and 20 minutes into the ride, your friend tells you, hey, you got to buckle up. Put your seatbelt on. And right after he says that, minutes after he says that, you buckle up, and you get into an accident. The car flips, lands on the passenger side, and you're suspended in midair. But your life is saved. You survived the collision, the accident. And you're like, thank God. And you say to your friend, thank you for reminding me to wear my seatbelt, to buckle up. It saved my life physically. That's awesome, isn't it? Imagine that scenario. You'd be indebted towards that friend, right? Towards that passenger. Saying, if there's anything I could ever do for you, you just let me know. Thank you for reminding me to put my seatbelt on. It saved my life. If I ever have any extra money, you need money, or you need groceries, you need rent, you need somebody to talk to, somebody to spend time with, you let me know. I am indebted to you. I am grateful to you. Thank you so very much. And friends, we need to be deeply grateful to God because He saved our lives, not just physically. He has saved our lives eternally. Let me say it again. We need to be deeply grateful towards God because He has saved our lives eternally. He saved us from hell by faith in Jesus. And one of the ways to be deeply grateful to God for saving our souls is by giving Him back a portion of what He has given us. Let me say it again today. One of the ways that we can express our love, our worship, our gratefulness to God for saving our lives eternally is by giving Him back a portion of what He has given you and me financially, resource-wise. And, there's a teaching out there that says that you should give financially into the kingdom of God, into the body of Christ. You should give your tithes and your offerings in order to receive more money back. Man, if you just give that tithe, man, you're eventually going to receive 30, 60, and 100 times what you gave. Friends, you know what that is? That's selfish giving. There's a teaching out there in some churches that says exactly that. Give your money into the kingdom of God because you'll receive back 30, 60, and 100 fold what you give financially. Friends, that is selfish giving. As true followers of Christ, we're to be into what kind of giving? We're to be into sacrificial giving. We're to be into selfless giving. Amen? We give to God, we give into His kingdom, we give what His Word commands us to give, we give Him back a portion of what He has given us because we love Him, not because we want to receive more money back. And when we give into His kingdom, friends, guess what? The natural results might be that we might receive something back financially, but our motive for giving should not be to receive more money. Our motive for giving into the kingdom of God should be because we love God, because we worship God through our financial giving. And as you give into the local body, as you give back to God a portion of what He has given you financially, it will cause you to grow spiritually. It will help you build your spiritual house, your spiritual life. Amen? And I know what the feeling is like. At the year's end, I give money throughout the year to the local body. And at year's end, I kind of catch up on all my financial statements and figure out what I've made and what my increase has been. And I give the final tithe check into the body of Christ. And friends, if I can do it, guess what? You can do it as well. And remember this, whatever you have in your life financially, you might not have a lot in your life. You might have $1,000 to your name. You might have more. You might have only 100 or only 50. But remember this, whatever you have in your life financially at this time, God has given you the ability to receive that. And we're commanded as followers of God, as believers in Jesus Christ, to give a portion of that back to God. Is that making sense today? Let's turn to Malachi chapter 3 if you have a Bible. Malachi chapter 3 verses 6-12. And this is what it says. I, the Lord, do not change, so you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Verse 7. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you, God? In tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Verse 10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields, will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. So God is, through the prophet, is clearly commanding the people to do what? To bring the tithe and the offering into the storehouse. To bring the tithe and the offering into the storehouse. The word tithe means what? The word tithe means 10%. You're to bring 10% of your increase into God's work. So if you've been blessed with $100 and you've got $100 and it's sitting in your pocket and it's sitting and sitting and sitting there, guess what? Really, according to God's word, you need to give 10% of that, $10 of that, into His kingdom. You may not belong to a local body, but you can give it here to the mission at John 3:16. If you belong to a local body, a church that you attend consistently, then give it to that church. And you can give even beyond that into the offering. Is that making sense? We're obligated to give God back a portion of what He has given to us. The tithe. You may have more, you may have less, but give it back to God. And in Malachi, when the prophet is talking about giving the tithe and the offering into the storehouse, he's talking about giving it because the people love God. And that's got to be our motive. We've got to give into the work of God financially because we love God, because we're grateful to God for saving our lives eternally, right? And if that's our motive, that we give because we love God, the natural result will be, as the Word of God says in Malachi 3, that the floodgates of heaven will be thrown open and blessing will be poured out upon our lives. You see, when you give back into God's kingdom a portion, the tithe, 10% of what He has given you, it's acknowledging and saying to God, God, I acknowledge that You have given me this in the first place. That You've given me the ability, the power to be able to get this money, this wealth. And I give part of it back to You. And then God says, my child, You love me and I will bless you in return. You might be wondering today, well, does the New Testament endorse the tithe? Yes, it does. Matthew 23, verse 23. Matthew 23, verse 23. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices. You give a tithe of your spices. Mint, dill, and cumin. That's what they gave in their day, was spices. But you have neglected the more important matters of the law. Justice, mercy, and faithfulness. So Jesus was saying the more important matters of the law was justice, mercy, and faithfulness. And then He says this, here's the key at the end of verse 23 of Matthew 23. You should have practiced the latter, meaning what? Justice, mercy, and faithfulness, without neglecting the former. What is the former? The tithe. You should practice mercy, justice, and faithfulness without neglecting the giving of the tithe. It's in the new covenant. Would you agree? Matthew 23, 23? If it's in the new covenant, it applies to us in the new covenant today. Amen? Amen? So we need to practice in our lives towards other people justice, mercy, and faithfulness without neglecting the giving of the tithe into God's work. And friend, your tithe belongs to the local body that God has assigned you to. How many here attend the church on a pretty consistent basis here in Tulsa? All right, I see those hands going up. Then whatever monies that God has given you, whatever increase you've had financially, you need to bring into that body. Maybe some of you don't have a local body, but you attend the services here at the mission, the Bible studies, the chapel services. Well, take whatever God has given to you financially and invest it here at the mission. This mission is doing a lot of good for helping the needy and preaching the gospel. Amen? Amen. And guess what? When you give your tithe, your 10%, and your offerings, you're giving into the work of God. You're giving money for the reaching of other souls with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's hard for a ministry, for a church, for any kind of mission, any kind of parachurch organization to reach out and bring the gospel in deed and in word without financial resources. But when you're investing your financial resources, your tithe, your offering into the local body, you're helping them bring the gospel of Jesus Christ, advancing God's kingdom to the uttermost bounds of this earth, including Tulsa. Amen? Amen. So your tithe, your offering is not in vain. You are doing God's work. You're investing into lives. You're investing into the saving of people eternally. So find the church that God wants you assigned to and then bring whatever financial increase God gives you into that church, a portion of it. What does tithe mean? It means what?
Portion. Give back.
It means 10%. And as I said, I believe that the main storehouse that you're to bring your tithe into is the local body you're assigned to. But there may be exceptions at times where God says, here's another little storehouse. You know, he may tell you to put a portion of your resources into somebody's life directly, or into a parachurch ministry, or here at the mission at John 3:16. But the majority of your tithe should go to the local body. And the name of our nonprofit organization is Precious People International. And how many remember the earthquake that hit Haiti in January? It destroyed so many lives. It tore up that city. People's lives were lost. They were left homeless everywhere. And many organizations were raising funds, and there's a church here in Tulsa that's raising funds to build homes in Haiti. These little homes house 24 orphans. And so I just prayed about it and sensed on the inside that Precious People was supposed to raise some funds for the building of one of those homes. And so we were able to build half a home, and people gave to Precious People, and Precious People gave to this church. And thus, this church was able to build half a home with the resources that we provided. So, you know, it happened in my life with my organization. If it happens with me, friends, it can happen with you as well. Remember, find the place God is wanting you to give into, and those resources will be used wisely for the advancing of the kingdom of God. You know, a lot of times, if you're in a tough position like you're in today, a lot of people in tough positions like this, living at the mission, not having enough money, are always thinking, man, I'm in such great need myself. How can I step out beyond myself? Friends, we are all under the command to give financially into the kingdom of God. If you're always on the receiving end, you know, receiving, give me, give me, give me, my name is Jimmy. If you're always on that end, friends, you're never going to grow spiritually. You'll remain a toddler, even if you're 80 years old, chronologically. But if you want to become an adult spiritually, instead of saying, my name is Jimmy, gimme, 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 start giving out beyond yourself. Remember, there is somebody out there on the streets today that does not have a penny to their name. You might have 5 pennies or 10 pennies to your name. Find that person. Be sensitive to the voice of God and invest some of your pennies, some of your money, into that person's life. Every little bit counts. Pennies add up to dollars and to meals and to reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Start being more on the giving end, and start giving, and have your motive be this, that you love God. God, I love you. My act of worship, my act of service toward you, God, is to give financially back into your kingdom. And as you do that because you love God, guess what? The natural results will be that God will bring even more back into your life so that you can have even a bigger impact. Amen?
Amen.
Here are so many instances where people just, you know, wild things happen, like they find money. And I was talking to a guy that works with me just recently. He was like, man, I was at a Quick Trip just the other day, and he said, I just found a $50 bill at this Quick Trip. It's awesome, isn't it? He loves God. He gives into God's kingdom, and he just found a $50 bill somewhere around this Quick Trip. You know, God will get it to you somehow, even if you've got to find it on a street corner. Amen?
Amen.
But most times he'll get it to us by working a job, right? Working a job consistently. Working the good thing with our hands. Because the Word of God says, if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. Amen? All right. As you were listening today, you might have thought, well, you know what? It's hard for me to do. I'm in great need. I'm here. I'm stuck. It's hard for me to give whatever I might have. But friends, I encourage you, step out. Show God your worship, your service, by giving financially to something, to someone, to some organization, to some church. Show God that you love Him by doing that, and God will bless you. He'll increase you. He'll expand your boundaries. Amen?